for now, moving on to matters international. Well, an unprecedented hearing by the U.S. House U.S. House Natural Resource Committee has seen the WWF. Now, it's a long time since we've spoken about the World Wildlife Fund's reputation being shredded by representatives from both parties and independent experts, and a denunciation of the fortress conservation model that leads, in fact, to human rights atrocities. Joining us this morning, live from Paris, Fiore Longo, head of Survival International's Decolonized Conservation Campaign. Good morning, Fiore.
Good morning.
And thank you for joining us. The WWF has been accused of deceit, cover-ups, and dishonesty in the U.S. Congressional Committee hearing. I mean, tell us more. Once upon a time, I mean, the WWF, quite a respectable organization. I remember growing up with it, collecting stickers for WWF campaigns. But what's happening now?
For us in Survival International, the global movement for tribal peoples, this is not surprising. We have been speaking out against abuses committed by park rangers funded by WWF since at least 1989. Mm. But what happened today is that finally there was a bipartisan investigation into the funding that USA was giving to WWF. They found out that actually WWF was using this money to hire or pay park rangers. They are not hired because they are hired by the government, but they were paying park rangers. They were giving them bonus of performance. They were giving them training. They were giving them all kind of support without considering that then these park rangers were committing serious abuses against indigenous peoples. WWF knew about the abuses. They were alerted by several NGOs and did nothing to address them or to prevent this happening.
I mean, just to be clear, Fiore, I mean, the role of WWF and governments and park rangers, how does it work? Does WWF train park rangers and the government pays them? How is this relationship normally exercised?
I will have to generalize because, of course, depend on every single park. But in general, WWF co-manage the park. So WWF has a huge responsibility. They are the Western organization that has the money to set up these parks in the first place. So they advise the government then about what kind of area should be protected. Then they set up park ranger base. They pay the bills of this park ranger base. They pay the cars. The cars of the park rangers usually have WWF logo on it. They help them to get training. They give them with money, so we are talking about money, bonus of performance. So every time the park rangers arrest someone, they will get money from WWF. So we can see that, of course, they are employed formally by the governments, but the money comes from projects of WWF, and these projects are usually funded by USA money, by European Union money, by German money that goes directly to WWF that then implement the project in several African countries or Asia countries.
Fiore, you are quoted as calling it the conservation industry's equivalent of the Abu Ghraib scandal. I mean, a moment from which it will never recover. I mean, is it that bad that the reputation of WWF has been now, well, basically tarnished and destroyed?
I know that for a lot of people, this could seem an exaggeration because it's very difficult for us in the Western countries to understand what's going on the field. But we heard in this USA committee things that, of course, we have been saying in Survivals for 30 years, but we have heard that pregnant women have been raped by park rangers, that WWF knew about this. We have heard about people being evicted from their land, young people being shot by park rangers. WWF knew about these abuses and did nothing to address it. No one in WWF, the senior staff, lost their job. No one took responsibility. The woman that was representing WWF, who was not the CEO because he declined to testify, couldn't give any answer to the Congress. I think that it is quite a scandal that the biggest conservation organization in the Western world, WWF, was aware of serious human rights abuses and did nothing to address them. They hid information. They didn't want to take any responsibility, and they blamed the African government with a completely racist behavior, as they were nothing to do with these park rangers that I said they're funded by WWF, they're trained by WWF, they're given support by WWF. So I think it is quite a scandal.
Fury, I mean, you know, the way conservation is moving today, I mean, conservation has realized that you have to integrate the local and indigenous people. Maybe a century ago, indigenous people would not be regarded as part of a conservation project. People would be cleared off the land in the name of a national park. But today, the direction is towards, you know what, you require the integration of indigenous people and their medicine and the way that they manage the land, which is the original way of land management, in cohesion with the animals, the flora and the fauna that live there. This very attitude of WWF, doesn't it go in contradiction to the way conservation is supposed to be? I mean, these victims are primarily local and indigenous people, aren't they?
Yes. Unfortunately, WWF is not the only organization that actually is using this model, which is a colonialist and racist model of conservation. This is what, like, the way that mainstream conservation looked like. Again, I think that for a lot of people this can be shocking, but for us who have been working on the field for years, we can assure that the model that is imposed by big conservation NGOs, WWF, Wildlife Conservation Society, African Parks, is this kind of model. The model is, let's create protected areas and evict the people that live inside, because humans, in general, as they say, are destroying nature. They don't care about indigenous people. They don't take them into consideration when they do the project. They don't ask their consent before being involved in a project. The knowledge of indigenous people is considered something not important. That's why we say this is a racist and colonialist way of conservation. Indigenous peoples today, not 100 years ago, of course this happened also 100 years ago, but today are being evicted in the name of conservation. Today they are being deprived their way of life. And we have to know that, of course, this is completely wrong, not only from a human rights perspective, not only because these people are losing the access to the land, but also from a nature protection perspective, because the 80% of biodiversity is found in indigenous people's territories. They are the best guardians of the natural world. The way of life that they have enrich ecosystems, nourish those ecosystems. So we, of course, should be all working not toward the creation of more protected areas, as the 30% proposal now being discussed in the COP15 and the COP26 probably. This is not the right direction. The direction should be recognizing indigenous people's territories. This is what WWF should be doing. They should be calling for the recognition of indigenous people's territories.
What happens next? I mean, the case of WWF, they've come in front of the U.S. Congress, and then is there any hope that any sanctions or something be placed upon them, or the call for them to account?
What is happening next is a legislation. This hearing, the idea was to better understand what was going on with USA funding going to conservation. And the idea is that the USA shouldn't be funding any project that violates human rights. So how to do this? How to do this is through a law that prevents money being spent in things that then might have an impact on affected and might have an impact or affect indigenous peoples and other local communities. So the idea of this hearing is not just focus on WWF wrongdoings and violations, is to move forward and prevent this happening in the future. Because as I said, this is not just about WWF. This is about the entire conservation model that is being shown after years of survival campaign to be colonialist and racist.
Before I let you go, I mean, are there parks that the public could come to know of, or the attention could be drawn to those publics that have been able to manage the system well, that they have been able to manage the indigenous populations that have been on the land for, you know, centuries and thousands of years, and the flora and the fauna on the property, on the national park, and are a model example for the world?
The problem is with the definition of park, because a national park is or any other protected areas are places where human activities are limited. So that means that the people living there would lose access to the land, whatever kind of national park is created, because they won't be able to get in the park again. That's why we are proposing to replace this kind of model of national park or protected area with the recognition of indigenous territories. Every evidence available until now show that indigenous territories, where these territories exist, compared to protected areas, reach conservation goals better than protected areas and have less deforestation. So why we're still discussing about creating more protected areas or creating more national parks instead of simply recognize the land right of indigenous people and the local communities that live in those areas and are the best place to protect it.
Fiore Longo, thank you so much for joining us and highlighting this important case to us, and have yourself a good day, Fiore.
Thank you.